action-packed day. It's been an action-packed week. Do the Pelicans have an ownership issue? We're going to talk James Borrego. We're going to talk more about Trajan Langdon. It's good to be back. Let's do it. Presented to you by Chris Smith of Keller Williams, one of the top realtors in New Orleans, located at 8601 Leak Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. For a free marketing valuation of your property or to book a property tour, give him a call at 504-231-2004, Chris Smith Homes. Chaz and Ross joining me tonight in a live session on a Thursday night. Looks like the Celtics have taken a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Pacers. Make sure you smash that like button. Always helps out the show. See a lot of comments here from Matt. All right. This, I actually got Kofi. I had a really good laugh out of this one before the before the show even started. A couple things before we get into it. Five did a really nice show on Herb. Make sure you check that out. Chaz also did a really nice show on Darius Garland and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to talk about Cleveland a little bit later today, but first and foremost, Chaz and Ross, how y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Great to see Jaylen Brown out there dominating. You know, should have been a number two pick in that draft, if not number one.
Ross,
living the dream. I don't know. Sometimes with this organization, feels like a nightmare.
But let's get into it. Perfect. Let's get right into it then. So, reports came out yesterday. Gail Benson, the Saints are behind $11.5 million of, they're late on a payment for renovations to the Superdome that will be hosting the Super Bowl this year. They owe $11.5 million. So that's where it started. The LCD came out and said that they're behind on payments. The Saints then came out and said that they need some type of documentation. They've been sending this out. It's starting to become just like literally
classic. He said, she said,
it's just like two entities just going at each other publicly for where, like, I saw a tweet last night where someone's like, yeah, you can just get this over within a phone call. But anyways, Chaz, this then started bleeding into the Pelicans organization, because now Christian Clark reported last night that they are now pausing any Smoothie King Center renovations because of the late payments to the state. Now, they haven't even started the renovation. Like, I want to make, like, they haven't started the renovation. This was just to, like, literally evaluate the property, what needs to be changed. Like, they're in literally the beginning stages of one of the worst arenas in the NBA, and now that's being delayed. And as a group, we've talked about doing an ownership podcast. I thought, you know what? Screw it. We're not going to wait anymore. We got to start talking about this, because I'm not going to really talk about the Saints side of stuff. Like, I don't really necessarily care. That would be more for Chris Rosoglou, and he can break that down. But now this is starting to affect the Pelicans, Chaz, to where this is now delaying the Smoothie King Center renovations, not to mention they raised ticket prices, not to mention they have one of the worst sound systems in the league. They still have video boards from the AFL when the fucking New Orleans Voodoo were playing in the arena. The food is terrible. The seats are ugly. The list goes on and on. I mean, literally, you're in one of the best culinary spots in the world, and you have one of the worst food selections in all of sports. So, Chaz, let me begin with you. Where are we at with ownership? Are you worried about this Saints side of stuff bleeding into the Pelicans, where, like, this delay renovations?
Well, the Saints being my first sports team love, I am a bit concerned. Did a little bit of research on some of the goings on with this particular scenario, and my takeaway is, you know, Gail and her team, they put an old Mr. Marcello squeeze on the state. You know, they're just, you know, leveraging their power in a, you know, a little bit of a weak friendly neighborhood extortion going on right now. So allegedly, who knows, right? That's what the sources say. But I think Gail is just an example of you know, a gold digger digging too deep, and now she's in over her head. You know, that so much of what you see happening with the Saints, and with the, even when you get down to, like, the roster, even same thing with the Pelicans, it's just the Big Easy. You know, it's nothing but complacency. you know, pigs rolling in shit and just enjoying themselves. From I'm like, seriously, like, even when you look at across the street at Mickey Loomis, that's a man who's complacent. You know what I'm saying? He's been complacent since Sean Payton's left. You look at what's happening with David Griffin and, you know, this cast of characters. That's a team and an organization that's complacent. This is year six. The last time I even heard about any real renovations being done is when David Griffin initially took over. So now it's 6 years later, you're about to do some new renovations. And it's like, why aren't you like you notice every time a big name player requests is out, that's when they finally start to do shit. Like Anthony Davis leaves, then they're like, oh, well, what? We didn't know that we were behind the curve on all this. Now, Zion, this may be, who knows if it's Zion's last year here or not. It's like, oh, we didn't know that we were behind the curve on. It's just like, it's just everything, bro. It's just everything. It's just an extension of things that go on in the city. You know, just pigs and shit.
Ross, go ahead.
I mean, how do you follow up pigs and shit? No, Alex, Chaz came out of the gates. Full throttle there. To answer your initial question, does the Saints side of things bother me? Yeah, it has to, right? Because the same – it's not – like, it would be one thing if it was just like, oh, the same person owns – both of these teams, but it's not just the owner. It's not just the president. It's like, it's this leak down of the same personnel, the same executive office. So it's not just Gale. Like, I don't, you know, whatever this money thing, it seems kind of silly to me. But it's indicative of a bigger issue with ownership and the group around her. And I think that, you know, people want to talk about ownership and think it's just one person. Look, let's call a spade. Gail Benson don't know the first damn thing about football or basketball. Okay. They just keep it a buck. All right. And I really, and I'll go even a step further. Like, I don't even know how much she actually cares, like, personally. Right. Like, I mean, I don't think she wakes up in the morning and, like, eats, sleeps, and breathes NBA basketball. Let's, you know, she's not that type of owner. She's never going to be that type of owner. Like, that is what it is. But it's not just her. There are people around her that are influencing things. They have to be, because she isn't doing it. And that, for me, is it's a bigger picture. It's not just Gail. It literally is the term ownership, because it's multiple people involved, even though it's her name on the top of the line.
Yeah, and it's hard to, like, you know, obviously I follow the Saints, and I think one of the bigger, you know, I guess talking points is Dennis Allen and why you keep hanging on to this guy when you know he's not fit for being a head coach. And, you know, the record speaks for it. And Chaz, like, it goes back to the one word, is accountability. And I feel like there's just no accountability from top down. And, like, you see things are clearly not working, and yet you make no moves, right? Like, today, JB Bickerstaff loses his job. He just went to the second round of the NBA playoffs. And listen, like, he also didn't get really a fair shot at it. Like, they won a game, and then their best player goes out and he gets hurt. And, like, literally, Cavaliers, like, hey, man, this ain't working. Like, all right, we're out. Like, we're done. Yeah. Like, this goes to also the Saints side of things and the Pelican side of things. Like, the Saints side of things, like, clearly there's been some people there, you know, general managers, head coach, like, it ain't working. But they're kind of keeping it the same. So do you think, I guess as an owner, Chaz, like, do you think she's really making any of these calls of, like, hirings and firings and things like that? Or do you think other people are making those calls?
I think decisions are made, and then they ran by her to let her know that those decisions have been made. And she kind of is like, oh, that sounds good. So, you know, just the best analogy I can use is, imagine Gail Benson was blind. And her handlers were in charge of, like, taking care of her. And they were just putting on the same clothes every day. Like, they were just dressing in the same clothes and spraying Febreze on her. In her mind, she probably thinks she looks great. But, you know, from the outside looking in, it's like, yo, what the – it looks like
– Chaz, I just want you – I want to ask you a question, because I want you to clarify something. Do you think the scenario you just gave where decisions are made and they're run by her, do you think that's true even for non-financial decisions?
I would think so to a degree, right? As far as because when you're dealing with a person who knows so little about the industry that they're in, it's easy to manipulate them, right? Like, we know Gail has an affinity for the church. And let's say a guy like Willie Green, for example, if she were to meet someone like him and he's like, oh, he's a good, you know, God fearing man. And that's really all she needs to know, like whether it's true or not, even if that was a thing and that was the last image that was imparted in her brain, she would be like, oh, you just gave Willie a 10-year extension. Great. Like, you know, I just think that she's more of the last relevant thing I've heard Gail Benson have any real opinion on was when the league was moving away from the title owner and they wanted to shift to like president or something like that. She's like, no, I like the term. That's probably as involved as Gail is, in my opinion. She goes to some of those meetings just so she can be like the face of the thing. But it's like, this isn't Dan Gilbert. This isn't Ishiba. This isn't Ballmer. This isn't Cuban. This isn't even fucking Michael Jordan. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is a total absentee owner. And truthfully, it's not something I understand it to a degree, because it's not something she worked for or like earned. This is like a team she like inherited. So she's not going to have the same input or, you know, wherewithal to a degree. And I just think that it's an ongoing problem in several areas.
The one thing that drives me insane is that we've all been to Saints games here in this panel. And then obviously I'm sure there's been a lot of people in the chat that's been to Saints games. Like, you go to a Saints game, it is well run. Like, the music, like everything about the Saints experience is great, from pregame to the actual game to postgame, whatever. You go to a Pelicans game, it is complete opposite. I mean, there's just nothing. Like, I've been to a million Pelicans games. There's so many different things they can do, especially with like the food, the entertainment. Like Ross, you and I talk about this all the time. The entertainment, like in between timeouts, halftime, pregame, all that stuff, not that great. I just think there can be so many more things done on the Pelican side. I just don't think that.
Let me ask you this question.
Who cares?
Let me ask you a question. Would you say that?
Yeah.
In-game entertainment, and music and timing and all of those type of things are the same in a football, in a basketball game, NFL game, an NBA game? Would you say they're pretty different?
I mean, I don't think so. I
you think they're the same? Like, you don't think there's a difference between it, like an
you,
NBA?
You want to like? I really don't like necessarily think there's like that huge of a difference. If you're trying to make a point, like, I don't think there's that big of a difference.
I mean, my point is, having gone to a bunch, like, I think it's like wildly different. I mean, I think it's a faster paced game. The audience is much closer to the court. You generally have a different clientele between NFL games and NBA games, different nights of the week. There's I think a lot of difference in terms of what you'd want to do there.
It's a younger demo also.
Exactly. But if you look at the executive office, it's the same leadership. So, like, the same guy that's the head of marketing for the Saints is the same guy that's listed as the head of marketing and communications for the Pelicans, right? There's, you know, I think when they brought on Griff, it was in some ways a mask.
This is so true, Malik. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like,
it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
It's insane.
I think some of the stuff we do in game is embarrassing. Like, it's truly embarrassing to me. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just not something I'm proud of. Like, I think the product is just like, as it's happening, I'm almost like, I find myself slouching in the seat. Because it's almost like you get that secondary embarrassment. I mean, look.
Hold on. I got to cut you off, Ross, because, like, here's the thing. Like, no, the elderly dance team
is like the only good thing we have.
It's one of the, like, only good things they have.
Yeah, it's like one of the only good things.
Literally the only one of the good things they have. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and it's not the talent's fault. They're being put in positions of just awkwardness. But in any case, we're just either behind or not creative in a lot of spaces. And
I got to cut you off there too, because the one thing that's just apparent was what OKC did games one and two of the half off concession stands. And what do the Pelicans do? They copy the same exact thing and do exactly
what they're funding.
There's just no creativity. It's
they're
all
cheap. They're cheap. They're cheap, like, and they're cheap. And there's
like the one NOLA shit. Like what get loud. Like this is what we come up with.
Remember what was the, remember the anthem? Like another one that I was just
embarrassed. Do it big about. Where they bang the drum. Someone
do it big was like the word anyway. And so the point I'm trying to make here is, look, the Bensons backed into owning the Pelicans, right? And good for them. Good investment, you know, I think. Tom, and to a certain extent, even Gail. Like, big picture, Gail, like, probably wants the best for New Orleans, right? Like, that's great. That's her just general opinion. But there was not a lot of things that changed. Remember, there was this huge gripe about, like, well, these are all just the same people running the Saints and Pelicans. Like, this isn't going to work. And that's how it was for a while, and it didn't work. And then they brought in Griffin, and it was like, okay, now we're going to move, like, the basketball stuff to basketball people. But that never really happened. Like, they just brought in Griff, and he just is like a layer between ownership, the executive office, and what's supposed to be the basketball side of it. But there's still all of these people above him in executive roles that are, like, Saints people and have been around that part of the culture. And I think it just trickles down but there are bigger issues that we probably need to talk about.
Yeah. And then this is like Zilla, like, this is a great point. Like, the Mystics just offered brunch before games. Like, one of my buddies sent me this today. This is genius. This is thinking outside of the box. Like, it's like bottomless mimosas and like waffle. Like, I go. Yeah, I go with some bottomless mimosas. Like, the Pelicans never do anything, and like literally they never think outside of the box ever. Like, and that's what's just, there's no thought. It's just they think with the Saints. They do not think with the Pelicans.
Yeah, and look, I think part of it is that I don't want to say they don't care, but I think they don't care. Like, yeah, could smooth the guy. I think there's just no pressure. Okay, like there's no pressure being applied ever. Like, Chaz just brought up a bunch of names of owners, right? You see Steve Ballmer, one of the richest dudes in the fucking world, sitting courtside, sweating like he's fucking playing in the game, jumping up and down like a kid. Like, this is his life's work. He wants to win this fucking shit so bad. That in and of itself creates accountability. The dude signing your check is sitting right there more into the game than half the dudes on the bench. Well, our owner doesn't even go to the game.
Like, she was visiting the Pope during the playoffs.
Like, and you see what I'm saying? Like, and so there's just this, like, that for me is the issue. There's just this sort of lack of care, I think. This lack of, like, well, if you don't really want to do this shit, like, owning a team is just a hobby for billionaires. Like, it's not, you know, like, maybe you make some money, maybe you lose some money, but, like, you know, in general, the team's always appreciating value. Like, when you sell it, you're going to make a bunch of money. Like, if it's just not for you anymore, then, you know, like, it was for your husband. But if you're not going to be all in on something like this, then what's the point of it? Like, just to say you have it? Then I guess that's kind of where I'm at, at least for the Pelican side of it. I think they have things in place on the Saints side, and you have questions about decisions they make. But you're even saying it yourself, Justin. You know, the Saints is a little different. This Pelican stuff just still feels so half-assed.
And, like, the one thing, Chaz – well said, Ross, but like the one thing that really pissed me off is, like, you want to grow the brand. You have guys like Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum. You have Defensive Player of the Year candidates and Herb Jones. You got young players and like Trey Murphy, even let's say Jordan Hawkins. And you know Bally's isn't working, Chet. Like, you went in, like, a couple years ago, like, this isn't working. The app sucks. Like, the fans literally, like, we can't even watch the game. And what do they do? They re-up again for the next year. And then it's just the same, like, there's just no thinking, right? And it's like they have some games on Fox and they like triple or quadruple the ratings they have on Bally's. And it's like, do y'all not see this? That clearly there are some easy decisions to make and they just don't do it on a consistent basis. And like, that's one for me is the Bally's stuff. I don't truly understand that. And then obviously I think the game day stuff is, I feel like the game day stuff's half-assed too, Ross. And we go to a bunch of games. I know Chaz, you've been to a couple in the last couple of years, but it's not something like I'm dying to bring my kid to, you know?
Yeah, I think I don't know really what happened with the business end of the Bally's situation. Cause if it was a situation where they had a sweet deal they couldn't pass up, it's like, fuck it. You take the money, you worry about the issues later. But I think a larger part of it is like, for example, aside from, you know, the PR team, most of the people from the Pelicans, they probably not on like Twitter, you know, like they, and if they are, to be honest, they don't really respect, like the to me, from the beginning, I've always like imagined the Pelicans want to be the Spurs. Like they want a nice, classy, boring, like Tim Duncan, like this, how they speak of the team, like, oh, the family thing, and we want some good human being, like, fuck all that. But that's what they want. They don't want to be the grit and grind Grizzlies. They don't want to be like this super ethnic team or this super like quote unquote New Orleans cultural team. They don't have a ton of respect for the demo that does show up to the games. Like, even when they lie about all these sellouts, because they lying. Think about how many of those seats are comped. Motherfuckers just not showing up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I was a little kid, you used to have to give you tickets with, like, a Wendy's Frosty. You know, hey, you go to the game, get your little Frosty. But it's like the Pelicans, they don't have no direction. They kind of want to do things like the NFL does it. Like, the Saints are regarded as a classy organization, you know, for the most part, bounty shit aside. But right now, it's like, the Pelicans don't have the cachet to do that. And none of this would be an issue if the team was actually good. Like Atlanta, for example, they seem to have great in-game experiences. Team isn't that good, but they have struggled selling out as well. Memphis, great. And it had fucking wrestling and like an incredible genius.
Go ahead. I was just saying, you make a really good point. And that brings up like a separate issue, right? Which is if the team isn't good, and your entertainment situation isn't good, and you've also done very little to build like the local, like you've done very little to build kind of like local brand respect. Like you've done very little community related events. You know, they do like some things, right? And then individual players do some stuff. Like CJ's in the community doing some things. Larry, I think, does, you know, some things here and there. Like they're like players do stuff, but it's not like the team is always like it front and center out and about in the community, sort of like creating fans, creating loyalty amongst, you know, school age kids, young adults that are buying tickets. Like they're not doing a lot of that. Like in that. So it's like, if you're not winning on the court and you're not really winning with entertainment, I don't really know if they're winning in the community.
So okay, you're not winning on the court. You're not winning. Well, 49 wins. So, you know, we got to hang the banner. You're not winning on the court, not winning in the community, but yet you still raise ticket prices. And this is just another slap in the face from ownership. It's like, wait a second here. We've won zero playoff series in the last 7 years. Is that right? 6-7 years. We've been in the play-in 3 years in a row. You had your most healthy season, you were still a play-in team, and they raised ticket prices, Ross, before the play-in. They raised ticket prices like 2 weeks before, 2 or 3 weeks before the season ended. And it wasn't just like a percent or two. Like they raised it like 8-9%. And fans, rightfully so, should be bitching and complaining. Your arena sucks. Your food sucks. Your sound sucks. Your video boards, besides the main one, suck. If I'm like, seriously, I'm a big stats guy, so I'm looking like for stats and everything. I gotta look around, like I gotta find that, like there is no central location of like stats besides on the big board. Like other arenas have it all. Like You go look at OKC. Go look at all the teams in the playoffs right now. You can see stats galore everywhere. Like, I just, man, it really drives me insane that it just feels like ownership doesn't give a shit about us, about the fans. Like, this is a fan podcast. Like, that's how I feel. I don't think they give a shit.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this might come across harsh, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hey, you see a fool, you play a fool. Because ultimately, it's like when you – look, I interact with some of my fellow Pelicans watchers all the time. And some of the debates I've had with some of them is just like, it's a lot of stupid motherfuckers. So if I can get a stupid motherfucker money, I'm going to do it 10 times out of 10. A sucker, see a fool, play a fool. Because for everybody, like, this is it. I'm telling y'all, you do this again, I'm canceling my season ticket package. You're still going to get it. You're still going to do it. So what's it matter? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm in this. This is business. Like, we could think about the more. Now, Justin, you're absolutely right. Like, for us, like, damn, you're just taking advantage of motherfuckers' loyalty. Like, you know, it's
that's so really good. What it is.
That's yeah. It is. But that's like questioning the morality of it. You know what I'm saying? The realness of it is like, toes ain't going nowhere. So as long as I can take advantage, I'm a take advantage. Like, shout out to Corey. Like Corey said, ain't nobody about to be out there making like no real stink about this on Poitras. No one's gonna be like really. You know how like I be having to like catch myself sometimes because you know I could come off a little brash. Yeah, you know. Yeah, no. You know, but it's just like, man, there's a lot of stupid motherfuckers in this world. People was calling Gail Mama Gail and saying this stupid shit. Like, I'm just like, who raised you? Like, what kind of shit is this? Like, people are crazy, bro. But this is again, it's a microcosm. It's an extension of all the issues with the city. It's just an extension
of the city. So just to kind of bring this ownership thing, like sort of start to bring it full circle. So do you think Gail could be a competent NBA owner with the appropriate people in charge?
Yes.
Or is she just not the person, right? Because and I asked the question because half of me says like, yeah, anybody with deep enough pockets could own a team. And like, if you've got the right people in charge and you're winning games and they're doing like, engage with the community, they're building loyalty, all that stuff, like then who gives a shit who the owner is? Mm-hmm. But the other part of me is like, we currently have an owner this like openly saying we're not like we are not ducking into the tax. We like this is not a tax team. This is not a tax program. Like we are not doing that. And so that like I'm torn. I'm really torn because if you're gonna be a billionaire and you're gonna own a team, you're gonna have to spend money at some point. I don't think they're going to spend that. I don't think she's going to like approve that money to be spent. And so that's where I'm kind of answering my own question, saying I don't know.
Justin, I guess I need an example. I'm sorry, I kind of caught up on some comments, Ross, because this one was actually interesting. But if no one goes to the games, the team will be in Vegas or Seattle. Careful what you wish for. No one goes to the games now anyways. Like it's not like the Smoothie King Center's packed out.
But it doesn't matter. That's where I kind of disagree with you. Is it they did a good job, I guess, from a business perspective of capitalizing off of the play-in 2 years ago, the first play-in. Right, they did a very good job of capitalizing off of that, and they sold a shitload of season tickets that next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the same thing. Won a few more games, playing again. Ooh, Zion's going to be healthy. They sold a lot of season tickets this year. And what you have to remember is it doesn't always matter if seats are in the – like if butts are in the seats because if ticket sales. Ochsner has 250 tickets.
Well, Chevron.
Yeah. Well, then it don't – like to a certain extent, it don't fucking matter if somebody's sitting there on a Wednesday night. That seat is sold. Like, that's done. And so, like, I'm with you on that. But, like, attendance really wasn't – I don't know. Where we rank on attendance this year, Jazz? I feel like we looked at it at one point. 28th.
Were we that low? I don't think it was that low.
We were bottom six at one point in the league. I think, but a lot of that's because the arena only holds like.
Yeah, I'm saying for what the arena. I'm talking about capacity for what you have. I thought we were right there. I thought we looked at one point. We were kind of right there in the middle. Like, I don't think attendance was that bad this year.
But who knows if those numbers are? Who knows if those numbers are?
Yeah, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's sold tickets and. So I don't know. I mean, for me, it's. I thought they did a pretty good job. At least
24. It was 24.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's not good.
Another thing that just popped up in my head, Ross, of like just other teams doing stuff for fans, like the Philadelphia 76ers and whatever it was, either game three or four, I don't know. They had a game where a bunch of Knicks fans came in and kind of made a mockery of Philadelphia, and like they kind of took over the arena, and they're like, "Let's go Knicks." So what did Philadelphia do next game? They gave like 2,000 or 3,000 tickets to like nurses, firefighters, police officers, like so on and so forth, and like made sure that their fans were in the building. They got their fans in the building. They were giving back to the community. And also, yeah, you say, wow, 2,000 free tickets. Well, you still have merchandise. You still have concessions where you can like make your money. And I just think like those teams always think outside the box. Like, how can we get our fans in the arena? We don't.
I hate this crap. Like, I just
can't blame this.
We don't have to talk about this. I just felt obligated to like pull it up and just highlight how much I fucking disagree with like pretty much every single thing and almost every single thing in there. So appreciate it, Tommy. Thanks, buddy.
But I'll say this as far as the fans. It's like the best thing you can do for the fans is fucking win. And that's why
49 wins today, Chaz. But
y'all ever heard of the Whittakers? Y'all know who the Whittakers are? Mm-mm. You get a chance. Google Ross, you look like you know who the Whittakers are.
I didn't know whether you were about to tell us a classic story.
Now, when y'all get a chance, YouTube the Whittakers, the Whittaker family. That's who a large portion of the local fan base is, right? But that's why they're able to get away with some of the things they're able to get away with. But on top of that, I'm gonna have to give Gale a little bit of bail here. I think if you come to Gale and say, look, you're gonna get a playoff gate, you're gonna get a fucking finals gate, and that's why you should pay the tax. These teams suck. Like, on some real shit, it's like they fucking suck. And
if they didn't have a reason going to tax.
Yeah, they don't really have a legitimate reason. If you're shout out to Zeke. If you're you know what I'm talking about. If you're if you're Dennis Lauscher, and Griff comes to Dennis like, yo, man, I got this plan. I want to sign Kyle Lowry. I want to give Brandon Ingram $50 million. Dennis Lauscher, are you fucking stupid? Get your bald ass out of my face, Four Eyes. Newsflash, buddy. Like, you know, he's like, no. And that's some real shit though. Like, just to be honest, if you're not about to go get some, like, unless you got Trae Young and you like, yo, we got this deal lined up for fucking Carl Anthony Towns too, and that's gonna put us in the tax, but we about to get these playoff gates, we about to get this. I already looked it up. Going about $3-4 million over the tax is only about a $5 million penalty. Once you get playoff gates and all that shit, advertisements,
Chaz,
it's nothing.
There's a new TV deal. She's about to get like $300 million, like something ridiculous. See,
that's what pissed me off is that fucking stupid ass picture. And I gotta go find. I don't know if it was an article or a social media post now at this point, but it was a picture of Gail when we got rid of Kyra, and it saved her like whatever it was. I think it basically netted her like $12 million this year, $14 million. Remember this?
Yes.
We got under the tax, and because of the revenue share situation, the tax teams obviously have to pay all the non-taxpayers. That pool of money gets split among the like those teams. And so basically it was like $14 or $16 million. And it was applauded. It was applauded. And I just remember thinking in my head, like, yeah, that's cool. And I'm not saying you should unnecessarily spend, but like applauding this as like it felt gross to me.
I remember when Kyra got traded.
Slapping my face, like
All right, yeah, we know you're fucking rich already. Like, oh, like, spend some fucking money and make a good, put a good team out there. How about that?
I remember when Kyrie got traded. Kyrie got traded, and they were doing like a fan appreciation post for like the next home game, and they actually posted somebody in a Kyrie Lewis jersey. It's just shit like that that just drives me insane. The beauty of so we get some comments. So appreciate all the super chats. So if you're new here, make sure you like, comment, thank subscribe, hit the bell notification. Of course, John gets your super chats. Always appreciate you. The beauty of freedom is that he doesn't have to be stopped anymore. So that is the beauty of freedom. Chaz will not be stopped.
18 million. That's what it was. Yeah, John, thank you. 18 million.
So I'm not going to answer this, but this is a great comment. BG2. He's never been in the Smoothie King Center. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, right? So he's never been in the Smoothie King Center. What's bad about it? Now, as 215 people are in this chat room right now, you tell me, y'all tell me what is wrong with the Smoothie King Center, because I'm interested to hear y'all's comments. So I'll try to bring some up, but why don't you, I'm going to let the fans answer this question. BG2 has never been in the Smoothie King Center. What is bad about it? The sound is awful. Like, half the time, I don't even know what the referees are saying. Like, if there's a review, I don't know what's happening. I really don't know what's happening. What about you, Ross?
The best way I can describe it is something my wife always like. Well, she has this sort of analogy she uses, and it's like she'll say, you know, maybe it'll be a friend, maybe it'll be somebody, you know, whatever, not a friend, but like, you know, someone. If she's describing maybe another woman, she might use the term like, she's just like 8 to 10 years behind a little bit. Like she just dresses like she might be like just a little behind style. You know, it's not, maybe not her own fault. Like, you know, so not everybody's like trying, and that's cool. She doesn't say it as a negative necessarily. It's just like her way of describing maybe how somebody like does their hair or dress or whatever. Nice. And you know, is what it is. They could be wearing real nice shit, like real nice clothes. I was like, but it's just a little, it's like, you're just a style or two behind. That's what I think about the Smoothie King Center. It's like, yeah, you're just a little, like, we just maybe, you know, and like 2002 was probably straight, but like it's 2024. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. Just a hair. They're just maybe a little behind.
Also, like, one of the better in-game like DJs, I thought, was DJ Jess. Like, she was like really,
like, Jess is the Jess.
She was goat. She was fucking awesome. Like, I remember doing that play-in game against the Spurs. She had going against the Suns. Like, she had like,
Jess is my girl. Shout out Jess.
Never. I haven't seen Jess since they lost to the Suns 2 years ago. Like, they just, we're out of here. Just like the Nola uniforms in the white. Like, we're out of here. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, and I'm gonna keep it real. To me, the worst thing about the arena is the team that plays in it. And like, I'm gonna be honest. I don't give a fuck about none of that. I don't give a fuck. Like, if you can have a bunch of beach chairs and some cold Miller Lights, and I'm going to be in that bitch. You scoring 130 points, I'm going to be in that bitch. Invite
the irony. I
do have to shout out Theo. I actually like Theo, the PA guy during the games. Like, Theo Mitchell does a really, really good job. Like, there are some good guys out there that do work inside the Smoothie King Center for the organizations. Theo is definitely one of them. Theo Mitchell, shout out to you. Go ahead, Ross.
What was the irony, Ross?
The irony is, like, if I was sitting in there drinking a cold Miller Light in a beach chair, it might be an upgrade.
Yeah, hey, that's like, especially like for me when I was going frequently. You know, I'm in the cheap seats. You stand up, you feel like your fucking life's at risk. Like, you know, you stand up, it's dangerous. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's New Orleans, you know, the Bizanis, the fucking, you know, it's like Cuba. It's like living in Cuba. Everything, you don't really have any real imports. So everything is like, Ross, it's a few years old. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a few years old.
Let me give you an example of like a team that is like has done, yeah, like that has a great relationship with their community. Shout out Cuba for sure.
I mean,
that has a great relationship. I'm just saying, like, with their fan base, with the city. I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Okay, all right, okay. For whatever reason, you go to Busch Stadium. You might go to a lot of people. St. Louis, Middle America. You know, ain't the most glamorous place on earth. Whatever, that's cool. I'm not saying so. St. Louis is just hella bland. Mm-hmm. But you go to Busch, you could bring your own ice chest in.
first time I ever went, I'm sitting there and there's a family sitting to my right. It's a day game, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. A mother, a couple kids, and a dad. They pull an ice chest out from under their seat, thinking, I'm looking at the people I went to the game with. I'm like, what's going on? They snuck a whole ice chest in. How do you do that? They were like, no, you could bring your own shit. Like, you bring your stuff
Y-O-B.
In. She's handing out sandwiches.
Bring your own bag.
She's handing out Snickers, waters, all kind of, what the hell is going on here? But like that, like, and I'm not saying you have to give shit away for free. Like I'm not, that's not what I'm saying. But there are like just things that other teams do that are like their thing, right? Like you like, and that's cool. We just don't have anything like that. There's just no like culture around this team. In an incredibly cultural city, there's just no culture at the team, like within this team organization.
Stephanie, I appreciate this comment. We cover the team because we actually love the team. Like, we love the team. We don't like love the product right now. It's like, we love the team. Like, there are changes that need to be made, and we're speaking on those opinions. Like, we think changes need to be made. Maybe you don't, but we personally think that, you know, we cover the team every single day. We mostly go to all the games. Like, there are a lot of things that need to be changed within the organization. Chaz, real quick, because we got to get to the next, we're 40 minutes on Gail Benson. So,
yeah,
we got to get to the next couple segments. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I want to applaud you for being really respectful to that comment, because I want to say, I fucking want to. That's why my parents fucked in New Orleans. I was born in New Orleans. If they fucked in Minnesota, I would cover the Timberwolves, motherfucker. Let's move on.
There we go. There's Chaz.
That's the problem. Y'all go watch the Whitakers. That's the problem right there. That's the problem. Go watch the Whitakers.
I'm about to go check out the Whitakers. Make sure you smash the like button. So let's talk. Wow, I didn't think it'd go for 40 minutes.
I laugh at the y'all hate the team thing. That's one of my absolute favorite comments. Right? Why do y'all cover him if you like y'all hate the team? So it's like, I don't hate the team, but you ever been to like you got a favorite restaurant and they hire a new manager and dude's a fucking dipshit. Well, don't mean I dislike the restaurant.
Right.
They're going through some hard times.
Chaz.
You got a bad bartender, dog. Like, look, it is what it is, man. Like,
look, Chaz, you've said some things over the years that have been kind of crazy. That might have been the craziest thing you possibly might have ever said.
Shut up. Crazy. Y'all want better for this team. Newsflash. Why don't you just root for someone else? Cover someone else.
It's like, what? Like, he put a cop out there. He's like, cheer for somebody else. Like, no, I'm straight. I'm going to just keep bitching about this team. Like,
yeah. Go ahead. So... Sorry.
One more thing. Like, where's Lito? Yeah, one more
thing. Lito's on vacation. Shout out Lito. Shout out Five. Shout out Chris. Hopefully, we get everybody back in on Sunday night when we go live. So, we're going to be going live twice a week. Probably once in the middle of the week and then obviously on Sunday night. So turn on those bell notifications. Appreciate that. We're going to answer some of these questions. So if you're new, Savage, I don't know, maybe it's a new icon. I've never seen you, but what we do is we start comments. And we have a fan question Q&A at the end of the show. So I'll get to those. So, and shout out to you, Malik. Appreciate you. By the way, if you want to support
the channel, happy anniversary, Malik.
If you want to support,
happy anniversary, brother.
If you want to support the channel, you can become a member once a month. We're gonna try to start dropping more exclusive content for members only. So we're gonna start doing that this summer as well. All right, let's start, James.
You want to take this one real quick, Nat?
We're gonna do it at the yes, I'll do that at the end. Cool. I'll make sure to answer that one. Zilza, yeah. So let's talk Borrego. James Borrego was linked to LA. Bickerstaff gets fired today, and instantly Cleveland or Borrego's atop of Cleveland's wish list for coaches. I think it was Borrego, it was Atkinson, obviously JJ was there, and then there was Sam Cassell. We're like the top four, I read, and then your Stouts. I saw Stouts might have been candidate Ross. You know, I keep saying that this would really be a bad loss. And I keep saying this because they're going to go in next year with Willie Green. If things go left or things go south and the team just falls flat on their face and they try to make a coaching change, and Borrego goes and he's out in Cleveland or LA, you then have to start another process of trying to hire a coach when you really literally have James Borrego sitting right there. That's my thought process on it. Now, I know you can say, well, his offense wasn't great this year, blah, blah, blah. There are a lot of things to dissect, right? Like, I don't think that they really fully leaned into the James Borrego offense. Ross, do you think it would be a big loss if Borrego were to get hired by Cleveland or LA?
It's hard to hide my sarcasm with some of this shit. Like, in theory, yes, it's a big loss because you're losing the best coach on the staff. But in reality, we didn't really do anything he wanted to do for the most part of last year. So, like, it depends on what you consider a big loss. Like, it's like having, you know, this great chef in the kitchen being like, sorry, brother, but you can all I'm letting you do, you just cutting the vegetables tonight. Like, that's
a lot of restaurant talk.
Maybe I'm hungry or something. But so I think, you know, for me, this stuff is embarrassing. At its core is what it is. It's embarrassing for me. You have a coach that now there's been three. I'm trying to think of the head coach, the vacancies, right? But you had Brooklyn, LA, and Cleveland. And one of the first
Brooklyn's got a guy.
They got a coach.
They got a coach. But Borrego was one of the first names we heard that was on near the top of their list. Same thing with LA, same thing with Cleveland, like you just said. He coaches here. So
I know.
But hang on, you got a dude here that seems like everybody else who needs a coach is saying, "Fuck, we want that dude." Like, or we're real interested in that dude. And what are we doing with him? What the fuck are we doing?
We're not using him.
It's almost embarrassing to me. I think Chaz has used this joke a few times, and it's not a joke. It's a reality of like. I hope for his sake he gets another job that will value him. Same thing we said about JB. Don't come back here. Go somewhere that's going to let you flourish, like that's going to make you a better coach or a better player or whatever. It's not happening here. And it's crazy to me that you have something that publicly, everyone else is valuing except you. So, yeah, like, now that we're hearing, you know, his name getting popped up and we've heard from the grapevine that, like, they're nervous they're going to lose him and all this shit. Well, you should be nervous you're going to lose him because you just brought him here and then you made him sit on his hands for 7 months. That's why you're going to lose him. It's ridiculous and it's embarrassing. Again, goes back to no accountability, no foresight, nobody calling the shots, nobody with any real expectations of what they want out of this franchise. So when you do get something good here, you fuck it up.
Shout out to you, Donald. As always, you're always in here. Appreciate you, John. Go ahead, Chaz.
I think you got a fucking coach killer on the team. And me and Justin, when we spoke about Trajan earlier, it ties back to Borrego as well. It's like, if you got a guy like Borrego and he's interviewing for the Cavaliers job, and you got Trajan Langdon, who just was congratulations to him. Well, long overdue. Hired by the Pistons. It's like, to me, those are two whales that are potentially poisoned. You know what I mean? You got, at this point, this is what I spoke about on the show. This is Brandon's, right now, Willie Green's Brandon's fifth head coach in 8 seasons. That's crazy. Like, you know, it's a difficult situation to navigate. To answer the question you asked directly, Justin, I'm going to say no, because I don't think it's a big loss, because I don't know what the fuck you do. Like, I don't know what you do. And on top of that, I can't ask of you to sit on your hands, pause, another season, right? I would need a guarantee, firstly, that this guy is gone. Because if I know he's gone, I know I have at least more people that are willing to listen to me and play a certain brand of basketball. I know I have a bit more buy-in. To me, Willie Green being gone, it's like CJ McCollum. Like, that's like almost, you're not going to be here long. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're here because you're cheap. and for continuity reasons and to appease Brandon. So once I remove one of those, well, two of those things from the equation, you're on a hot seat. Like, you know what I'm saying? Your demise is inevitable, in my opinion. But with the good thing about the Borrego situation is there are a bunch of coaches who – there are a lot of good coaches out there, man. A lot of good coaches. And I like Borrego. I'm not going to act like he's just this savant. But I do like him, and I do wish he would have gotten a more fair shake here. Truthfully, I don't know how much I believe that he's really in the running.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chaz, because – I don't think he gets the LA job. I don't think so. But yeah. I do know he's got the relationship with AD. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland job does scare me. I think Atkinson and Cassell are up there with him. I just worry, right? Like, maybe to your point, Chaz, like maybe he's in these rumors of like to put a little pressure on the Pelicans, right, Chaz? Like, to where it's like, so. Where it's like, look at like, hey, you ain't gonna utilize me. I'm ready to leave. I can go.
Can I add this as well? When Stan, I don't believe Willie Green's as safe as some say, because again, this team never really has come out and endorsed Willie Green. Like, Griff doesn't speak glowingly about Willie Green. He spoke glowingly about Borrego. They don't like the.
They didn't announce his extension.
Yeah, the extension still hasn't been announced. Like, there's a lot of things that I feel like with Trajan leaving, I'm hoping it's the first domino, and it gives you the perfect excuse to start resetting things. I'm hoping that it's the first domino in a series of dominoes that change a few different things about this team and the culture and just, you know, different things. Because Willie Green, you're arguing with multiple players, so that means you don't have a great locker room, right? We know Jackson Hayes couldn't wait. Fucking Jackson Hayes couldn't wait to be off this team. Like, he was like, damn, I'm not traded. Like, this motherfucker was upset that he wasn't traded. And you got Brandon, you know, who's arguing with the guy after game two. You got Zion taking the back seat. Clearly, there's not a bevy of confidence in Willie Green. And that's one of the main reasons Coach JB was fired, because he lost the locker room. And we questioned many times this season, has this team quit on Willie Green, or, you know, he just should go. I don't even know if I think James is that good. I just think Willie Green should go.
And we've now heard Chaz indirectly that, like, the seat's warm. I mean, this isn't like,
yeah.
I don't know that it's warm enough to get him out of town before the season starts, but it's hot. The seat's hot.
Yeah, I don't know, Charles. I mean, like, I want to, like, I don't even know what to say. Like, yes, Jarrett was in the building. We're not anymore. We don't have to go there. We can talk about that maybe at a later date. But if you ask them tough questions, they give you tough responses. That's just really the reality of the situation. So there, I mean, I'm just being real. Like, people don't like tough questions. So let's see. Chaz, this is a really good question for you. I'll let you answer that at the end of the show.
Look, it isn't just before we get off this topic, because I think it's important to, you know, and Chaz alluded to it, but I don't think it's like it's a really important point. Like, I think Trajan going to Detroit drastically, I'm gonna say reduces. I think it almost eliminates your opportunity for that to be a Brandon landing spot. And I think if somehow JB ends up in Cleveland, you could damn sure, I think, mark them off of a Brandon landing spot. So, like, when Chaz says that, it's a real thing. And so, like, in my opinion, I'm really hoping he doesn't land in Cleveland, because I like some of the opportunities to trade there. But, like, but if he does land there, just know that it really hurts the opportunity to get deals done.
Appreciate this, Malik. Yeah, I won't be supplying y'all any more Zion Williamson corner three videos in practice anymore. So I am over 21, Chung, so I can drink wine on my own show. So thank you for that. It is not CJ's wine, but I can do that
as well. We'll take a wine sponsor if somebody got one.
Yeah, if CJ wants to, you know, yeah. So we're going to talk Trajan here in a second. So Chaz and I did a little 7-minute video. Just kind of initial thoughts on Trajan. Now that the news has been about 6 hours old, Ross, we get your thoughts on Trajan going to Detroit. What are your, I guess, initial thoughts there?
I mean, I don't, you know, I said this earlier. I don't know exactly what he did here. I don't mean this like
evaluated talent drafted, I guess.
Yeah. And like, that's great. I just don't know what like his effect was. Like, I don't know how much autonomy he was given here. Like, I just don't know how influential he was on decision-making, but like, we never did anything. Like, all right, we drafted and there were some hits and misses. Okay. But like, other than that, we didn't do anything in his time here. And so it's almost hard for me to even say, like, I don't know, maybe he's good at his job. Maybe he's not good at it. I don't know. I mean, you know, the article I saw today gave him a lot of credit for the draft. Okay, well, like, you know, my 7-year-old daughter would have drafted Zion.
Well, you got Trey Herb.
You got Kyra and Dyson. Jackson. Like, you know, it's like there's hits and misses. And I'm on record saying I think the draft, outside of like the top two picks, really is just fucking flip a coin in the air. You might get lucky, you might not. And so, cool, you know. But we didn't do anything in free agency. We didn't do anything at the trade deadline. Like, we haven't done anything. So I don't know. I'm really curious what Detroit like. I'm what did they see? What did they like a lot? It's hard for me to. Like, I don't think it's some big loss. Like, I mean. Good for him. I'm happy for him. Again, it goes back to like, was he given enough leverage to do his job?
I know the answer to that.
The answer to that for me is no. And so it's hard for me to say he's bad at his job. Well, like, you can't be,
There you go. It's a good point right here.
Can't be a good ditch digger without a shovel. Like, you know, like, if they're going to hold your hands and not let you do anything, you know, good on him, man. Go somewhere. Like Detroit's looking. Detroit needs to do things. Like, they're moving. Okay. That's a bad team. Historically bad, really, I think, these last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So I would think you're going to get carte blanche to do whatever the fuck you want to do there. So good for him. He's going to get a chance to, like, sort of pave his own road. And I, you know, maybe we'll find out more about Trajan Langdon, you know, for better or for worse. But I don't think it's some huge loss here, because like, we weren't doing anything anyway.
Chaz, go ahead.
In fairness, I think he can get a lot better, because I'm just basing it on like his record with the Nets. Like his, I guess what he's known for is Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, guys like that, and those guys fucking stink now. So it's like, if your best moves were finding some role players, like, just in like throughout your entire tenure, even if I give you Herb, even if I give you
drafting Trey in the middle. Yeah, Trey. There,
that's like, if I give you cool. Dyson, if that's I give you
thing, that's great.
Yeah, if I say all that, cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know,
there's no
home run swing. Yeah. Like, you don't have any home run trades, because even with the CJ thing, you should have gotten De'Aaron Fox, but you don't have any home run trades. It's like a RICO act. I don't give a fuck what you did exactly. You was in the car with this motherfucker. You guilty too. You was with Griff when he was making these bad decisions. Y'all work in tandem. It's y'all who did this. You the one who gave Steven Adams that big fucking contract as soon as you signed him. You're the one who brought in fucking Derek Favors. You're the one who gave Devontae Graham all that money. You're the one who gave Larry Nance all that money. You're the one who keeps doing these things. Cody's
out. Damn, Chaz, you're how do you miss one. How do you miss on Lauri Markkanen? How do you miss on that one?
And gave Devontae the money and then traded all your picks to get rid of
him. Yeah. And traded four
traded seconds all your second rounders.
I give him a pass for Lauri Markkanen because Lauri Markkanen was always fucking hurt in Chicago. And he didn't really get good until he went to Cleveland. But Lauri Markkanen, like you, it's an endless number of endless list of missed opportunities.
And that's what I'm saying. You just brought up a lot of the trades.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those for me are always like, it seemed really unclear. And maybe you guys know more than I know, but like, was he in charge of that? Or was he not? Because it seems like when you read a lot of stuff, it's like, oh, no, he handles the draft, player evaluation, that kind of stuff. But you never really hear about, like he doesn't get credit for the CJ trade. I've never once seen, like, oh, he orchestrated the CJ trade. I have not read that or heard that or anecdotally seen that anywhere. Not one time. Maybe y'all have. If he's not getting credit for that and he's not getting – and by virtue of that, he's not getting it blamed for the shitty trades either. I think more of that's grift than anything else. And so if you're just evaluating him in a box of the draft, it's been a mixed bag for me. Oh, and you said it yourself. No home runs, some nice players, but like it ain't like you found Jimmy Butler in the second round, like a Hall of Famer or something. You know, like
and even now the reason this team is in the position is in to where like you got a distressed asset like Brandon and you don't have many good things to attach to him is because you drafted so fucking poorly throughout your entire tenure here. Like, imagine, like, this is totally hypothetical, but imagine you got Jalen Williams instead of Dyson Daniels, and you're like, I got Jalen Williams and Brandon Ingram to trade. Or let's say you keep Jalen Williams. Well, I got fucking Herb Jones to trade with Brandon, or Trey Murphy or whatever. Like, it's if you were just competent drafting in the lottery, this is a totally different, like, outlook this offseason. But seeing as how you were terrible at doing it, then it's like, and he doesn't even get credit for discovering Herb. It was another gentleman.
They wanted to send Herb to the G League. Okay,
so this whole things of like I know y'all's answer, but like, so is this a loss?
Not at all.
Not to me right now.
It's only a loss if he goes to Detroit. It's only a loss if he hates Brandon.
Well, he's a well-respected guy, like a good dude, like. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, trading. He's, like, not, like, an asshole, but, like, you know, good dude, well-respected in the organization. Like, I don't think you get better or worse because Trajan Lang.
Last point I wanted to make. Trajan's been here 5 years. He's been trying to leave 4 of the 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes to show you how well-respected he is because he probably not,
well, to be honest. I think as much of that has to do with what I was saying. You hired me as the general manager, but you didn't let me do shit. That for me has always felt like, because I know you've joked about this every year, like Trajan's name came up in Charlotte and it's coming up in these other places. Washington. And it's so different. Like, we all have jobs. It's the same thing like I would do if somebody was like, man, like, fuck, y'all ain't even letting me do shit. Like, what's the purpose?
What's the point? Like, another thing y'all didn't mention is like Didi was a failure. Nicole Melli was a failure. Carlos, who knows? Like, I
think Didi was steroids.
Didi was atrocious. Yeah, Didi was.
I just told somebody like last week, we were talking about the draft. Somebody was saying something about the draft, and I mentioned Didi. I watched Didi play in a handful of actual NBA games, and I think I said it in the text to, you know, some buddies, but I think Didi was actually the worst on court like person that I watched. I'm talking about a guard, not like just a big lumbering, like, oh my gosh, somebody you expect to be shitty. I think he was the actual worst, like, wing player that I've ever seen play in the NBA. Like, in terms of just, like, this dude has no business being here. I don't think he would start for the best college teams.
Nico Mirotić was not.
That's no, that was Del Demps. No, he was saying. He's saying Nico was better than Melli.
Oh, God.
You know, they tried to, like, sell Melli.
They tried to sell it. Yeah, it's like a replacement. Nah, yeah, fuck that.
Yo, Trajan is the only guy with a niche that he isn't good at. Like, oh, he specializes in something. Like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't specialize in European or foreign prospects because all of his foreign prospects have sucked. Like, so
I keep seeing, Josh, I keep seeing D'Antoni. Like, there's like the fifth or sixth comment. Like, once again, like another guy, like, yes, D'Antoni's on the roster. Like, he's been chilling in the Carolinas for like the last couple of years, like overlooking the offense. We'll come to New Orleans like once or twice a year. There is no, like, D'Antoni isn't really like
the old man. He ain't coming back.
Just like,
yeah, I bet, like, what does Raymond Sessions do for us again?
I saw Ramon Sessions and Emeralds one day with Nikhil. They was getting, I was like, you took him to Emeralds? But I saw him in Emeralds one night with Nikhil. He's just like a player personnel guy. Like, he's not like, you know, development. I'm gonna take the guys around town and teach them how to be a professional type guy. He don't really,
because he's on, I mean, I think, I believe he's on staff.
Yeah, I know he's still here.
He's still listed on the, yeah, I don't
know. But another thing with D'Antoni is, like, I think people, and maybe because, you know, I don't know how much more playing we can make it at this point, but it's like, Willie Green ain't listening to no damn Mike D'Antoni. He don't give a fuck what Mike D'Antoni got to say. He not. And the parallels is crazy. I remember Chris compared Brandon to Melo. Think about the D'Antoni and Melo relationship. Like, you know what I'm saying? So if you compare, so if D'Antoni hated Melo, he probably loathed Brandon. So it's like, what the fuck?
Do y'all think do y'all think Detroit's like fully out on a for what, EJ? Do y'all think Detroit and Pelicans doing a trade this offseason is like completely gone? With Trajan going to Detroit.
Feels about Brandon. Maybe Trajan likes Brandon, or maybe he can sell himself on. It's three options. Three options for positivity. Trajan might like Brandon. Maybe Monty has heard good things about Brandon from Willie Green. And lastly, maybe Detroit is just super incompetent and they don't care. Right, maybe they're just setting up for the next move, like with Jeremy Grant. Like, you give a guy a lot of money and you trade him later. Like, you're setting up for the next move. Those are the three positives. The three negatives are that Trajan don't like Brandon. Willie Green has told Monty Williams that Brandon is difficult, and Detroit, like, we got other options.
That's fair. Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chaz's like first part of that was pretty optimistic, like unrealistically optimistic. I don't, like, I mean, you got Cade, you got to make a decision on. You got Ivy, which for some unknown reason, Monty benched for the first half of the year, and then you just drafted Auser, who, you know, played was a really interesting player. And then think about that, blood clots or whatever it was, but ended up missing like the back end of the year, I think. Or the back couple weeks. You got Duren, who seems like a nice young player, and then you got another like top three pick. I can't think of a worse person to bring in for those players' development than Brandon Ingram. Like, just totally ignoring everything else. Like, yeah. 1 year of bringing in, like, I mean, I doubt Trajan is sitting, like, I just imagine that for a second, that Trajan's first big move getting to Detroit is to give away something of value, something, for 1 year of Brandon Ingram. They might burn this motherfucker's house down before they go break into his car before he ever fucking gets comfortable.
They might like Brandon. They might like Brandon. I don't know. I've read that.
They don't know any better, so they might.
They really might. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've read a couple of reports.
It's a bad business decision. All right, fair enough. It would be a bad business decision to trade something of value for Brandon right now. Just sign him in the offseason if you really want
him. All right, so we're going to do Zion, then we'll get to fan questions. I know we're an hour in, but, you know, screw, we got over 200 people. Make sure you smash the like button, helps the channel. Subscribe, hit that bell notification, and get your notifications that we're going live. So Christian Clark again reported today that the Pelicans are parting ways with Jana Austin, an assistant athletic trainer who worked closely with Zion Williamson. She spent 4 years with the Pelicans. The team hired her in 2020. It looks like they're just, you know, it started with Nelson, right? So they, I guess, fired Aaron Nelson last year. Getting rid of Austin this year. They got rid of Teaspoon. It seems like they're just kind of getting everybody out of the building and I guess, kind of starting fresh. Like, I don't really necessarily, like, it is what it is. I mean, I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
Did she come in with the previous, like, with the Aaron Nelson group of like, how long has she been here?
Aaron Nelson came in 2019. She came in 2020. So, yeah, so I guess it was a Nelson. Regime. I guess Aaron did. Aaron did hire. It is what it is. But this picture came out today of Zion Williamson with Chris Cenac. By the way, this kid, get to know this kid. He goes to Newman. I think he's going to a prep school now. He's either a junior or senior. This kid is going to be an absolute problem. I've seen this kid dunk on my team about 15 different times. He is an absolute problem. But Zion in the building looks like today, and he looks fine. I would like to see some more workout videos with Zion. Hopefully his hamstring's healthy, but we haven't heard any updates regarding Zion Williamson. But I guess, Chaz, do you think it's a big deal that Jana was let go?
Nah, just because.
I see a lot of people like, what the fuck? But I'm
I like her, but I think it's another teaspoon type scenario to where, like, you might think a person does something that they actually don't do, right? Whereas, like, this team had so many injury issues prior to this year. She was a part of that regime. It wasn't until you brought in someone new that you started seeing less injuries. So I feel like what they should have done was done away with that entire regime at one time. Much like with Stan Van Gundy, they kind of just keep people straddling along. And the opportunity cost with that is that you miss opportunities to bring in people that you may feel, I don't know this young lady, but you may feel is more adequate. But I don't know, man. I don't think it's a big deal. But I will say the most important thing for the Pelicans moving forward is for everyone to be on one accord. Everyone, the line of communications to be clear. Like, this guy is sitting for this reason. Everyone needs to know that. This person doing this for this reason. People need to all be on one accord. I need a point guard. No, you don't need a point guard. You just need to be smarter. Like, miscommunication. Like, Brandon's coming back tomorrow. I don't know when Brandon's coming back. Miscommunication. Zion's coming back against Denver. I ain't seen Zion in months. Miscommunication. Like, you need to figure it out.
All right, let's do some fan questions. Once again, appreciate everyone to the chat. Let's do some fan questions. Joe, you're a fucking all-star, man. We got to get Joe like a care package, Joe. Like, you're the man. Appreciate you. It's the same mindset they have with the city. As long as we consider a great party place and have great food, they're fine. We put more money into tourism attraction than things that matter. Go ahead, Ross.
First off, shout out Ezekiel, new member. Appreciate you.
Thank you,
Zeke. Oh, Ezekiel, I'm sorry.
Appreciate you, Zeke. Yeah, look, a lot of people want to, like, take this and make it a city thing. Oh, Mont, welcome back. The city and ownership haven't gotten behind the team in the way that I think is appropriate. But look, this is true, right? It's what you hear about, like, every time they have an all-star game here, somebody's like, New Orleans is the best place to have this shit. But then it's like, yeah, but like, national media still don't give a fuck when they leave. Yeah, it's cool while you're here. You go have a good time, do what you got to do. Yeah. Drink a little later than you normally would, find you a lady of the night. But I just don't know that the NBA is like fully bought in. And I don't know that like the city is fully bought in, and ownership certainly hasn't. So, I mean, I agree.
Joe,
there's so many bad taglines.
You ain't really one, but you gotta cause a cave in the main dish. Chaz, do you think the city ends up losing the team from Dylan Roberts?
Nah, barring a major like national like fucking weather catastrophe, no. This because it's such a sweet financial deal. Like, it's such a sweet deal. You the biggest game in town. You can muscle who you want to muscle. You got all the old money. You're not even talking about old. We're talking about ancient money. You got the ancient money. And the league kind of wants the team here. So, like,
You think the league still wants a team here? Because they just made that change about the All-Star game, which eliminates us in future years.
Oh yeah, well, because of the
Well, I think the league. I don't mean for us those type of reasons, because that's like with the Saints in the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like the league wants the team here just because this is optics. It's one of the main cities. It's like one of the premier, like, thought of tourist cities in America. Yeah. And I mean, where's going to be the Austin Pelicans? Yeah, you know,
Vegas.
And Vegas, but Vegas is already getting two new teams. So, well, Vegas and Seattle are both getting their own teams. So I don't.
They're going to expand.
I don't think it's much of a threat.
Yeah. All right. I'm actually interested to hear y'all's thoughts on this, Ross. So I posed this question earlier, but for the guys in the comments to answer. But what is bad about the Smoothie King Center? What would you say is the worst? This amenity towards, I guess, at the Smoothie King Center. What would you say?
You're asking me to distill it down to the actual worst thing. Like about
the
it.
Worst thing, yeah.
Man, it's tough because like I think there's a lot of things that are bad, and like some of them are a big deal, and like some of them aren't a big deal. Like, for instance, I think the lighting is fucking terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
You're really putting me on the spot. Like, it's hard to, because like I agree. I think the lighting and the sound and the visuals are so bad. The new screens are good if you're in the right spot, like the two main screens. Other than that, everything.
The internet, bro. Bad. DB, shout out to you. The fucking internet is awful.
It's a dead zone. I'm glad you said that, DB.
I mean,
lighting and sound are just, it's like you would think in today's day and age, those two things are like, I mean, that's like the low hanging fruit of any facility, like new, you know, lighting and sound. And those are both so bad. I think for me, it's set up like a old college gym where like, you walk up the stairs and you make like a big circle and there's like some stuff on the inner part. It's just
a perfect example. Front.
Yeah. It's like lakefront. It's like, it's just lakefront that was built like 10 years later or whatever. I think for me, that's what's most frustrating is it's just the, like the blandness of the whatever they call it, like that first section. I'm sure there's a name for it. Like that initial corridor, you go up the thing and it's like, you're in the 100 level and you can either walk down to your seats or you can like walk around. And it's just, it feels like I'm walking in like I'm from Lake Charles and we have this old ass facility, the Burton Coliseum, where they host fucking fucking rodeos. Okay. And it's literally the exact same setup. Like,
no,
you
know,
walk around the corner and you get like some popcorn and a hot dog and a shitty, like not that cold beer, I won't say lukewarm, but just like a room temperature beer. And then you just like keep walking in it, like in a fucking horseshoe. Like it's just a bad stadium. Like to be honest with you, I don't even know if a renovation does it. Like, I think it might just need to be like, they need to just find a new facility, but a renovation would go a long way. But in reality, they just need to start over. Like, it just isn't a modern arena anymore, even for concerts or for anything.
For nothing, right? And so, like, Griff, like, you're to your point, like, the food's awful. Like there's no Cafe Du Monde. Like, there's no, like, Cane's. There's no Popeye. Like, it's just really bad. Like, the food is bad. The food is bad. I think about, like, Tulane, right? Like, Yeoman. Like, they have Blue Oak Barbecue in there. Like,
incredible.
There's just, like, local brands in Yeoman. There's no local brands inside the Smoothie King Center, which is insane to me.
some of that is maybe, like, some of that is probably whoever it is, SMG or whoever, like.
Right, private contract,
like,
or whatever.
You're stuck on some of that. And that's why I say you almost need to start over. But it doesn't make the issue any less relevant. Like, it's still, the food is shitty, but like, I just got to highlight some of these comments that like, this is,
I'm just looking at it.
This is funny. This is funny. There was a real funny one in here. Somebody said the drink holders weren't deep enough and that shit fucking cracked me up. Like, there's just a lot of like shitty, like, features of it. No, definitely no company burger.
We need some company burger in there. Chaz, I guess what would you what do you not like about the Smoothie King Center? Besides the product on the court. You can't say product on the court.
Well, that's really my only interest. That and the bitches. Like if I think the intermissions are a little too short. That's another thing with between football and basketball. Football, you got a little more time. Basketball, you got 30 seconds. You got to flirt, get the numbers, and move how you're going to move. But that's all I care about. I don't care about nothing else. When I go to the game, I don't really leave my seat unless I got to, like, go piss. It's halftime, quarter change. Right. You know, me, I'm here for these bums on the court. Right, I don't really, you know, I'm not gonna be here long enough to really enjoy myself. See, y'all classy family men. I'm here to like wave my fists at the team, like, come on, what the fuck are you doing?
But you can't do that either. You'll get in trouble. You'll get in trouble for that too.
And I get that. If I was just going to one game, that might be my opinion. But like, imagine if you had season tickets 41 times a year, you were planning to go. Start to develop a different perspective when you're somewhere people. 3 nights a week.
And when you go with people, because I remember at one time it was a couple complaints at one time. People were like, well, there's nowhere to put the kids, like, you know, there's nowhere to really have your children. So and that's what I totally understand. I'm just saying, for like from a casual standpoint, I only really got two things. But again, to Ross's point, I'm not really there all the time. Even when I was there, I went kind of frequently, but it was years ago. So if I go there now, to me, compared to years ago, it might look totally different. But now the seats are the same, and I have been.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
the seats are the same as fucking Katrina.
I also have been to much worse arenas, and that's what I'm kind of like. Because Orlando's old arena.
The arena, baby.
Oh, I'll my forget. God. Yeah,
that's bad. Look, I've been to one worse. Like,
they're old arena.
But see, out here, they probably got a bit more arena. But see, even Orlando, Cuba, Vegas, New Orleans, is these antiquated-ass towns. And when you get there, it's nothing like what you expected. Like, and that's really true. Like, it's an antiquated town.
Vegas is like Vegas is like
of all those.
Yeah, and Vegas is like two separate cities at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to Barclays. I've been to Barclays. Really, I mean, obviously, new renovation, but like, I've also been to Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden isn't this like, it's just the history of it. Like, it's just
it's in the lore.
They get it's like it's a Broadway show, right? Like, I've been to Fenway Park. Like Fenway, like,
lean into the shittiness.
This is what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Fenway Park is like one of like the shittiest baseball scenes, but like the historic features and the Green Monster and this. Like, I went to the Oakland Coliseum. I'm like, nah, this is like the worst stadium I've ever been to in my entire life. Like, I went to Oracle. That place was a shithole, but goddamn, like, those people are invested. Like, it is loud as fuck in there. Like, the obviously winning helps out. There were some cool little things. Like, they had like this like BMW club where it was just like beautiful marble, like cocktails. Like, there were still like some cool things about Oracle, even though it was a shithole. Yes.
That's what we're saying is like, it's fine, but just lean into the shittiness. Don't
make that a part of the thing.
That's why I made that joke to Chaz when he was like, hey, look, you know, I don't care about any of that. They could have lawn chairs and glass Miller Lite or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, it would be better that way. Just lean into the shittiness. Like, that's cool. Right. But if you're going to do
your highlight, don't like do Dollar Miller High Life night.
But if you're going to do that, you can't jack up ticket prices 50, 75% for a run of the mill team. You can't make it difficult to go to games. You got to make parking, make that shit as accessible as humanly fucking possible. Mm-hmm. Lower prices for tickets, lower drink prices and food prices, and make it about the community. Like, hey, look, this is like going to a fucking high school game. We're going to have like local shit, get your fucking cheap hot dog and a cheap beer, come watch it. Like, lean into the shittiness.
When the Saints won that Super Bowl, it was over. Like, for like that organic feel that Ross talking about. Once the Saints won, like, I remember my partner here got some free tickets from his job, like at a raffle, and I sat somewhere I never even sat before. And I was like,
you watch Pistons Talk? Different. Do you watch Pistons?
I like all the Pistons podcasts. I think all of those guys are really good. I'm a fan of their projects.
Congrats on Trajan Pistons Talk. Appreciate you joining.
Hey, you need a superstar like Brandon Ingram Pistons Talk. Spread the word. You need a superstar Pistons Talk.
We're not giving up for cheap either. We're not giving up for cheap.
Yeah, don't try it in that slick Detroit stuff.
Yeah. Like, look, here's the thing.
Don't try to give us Monty.
I know Jonathan's like kind of like being facetious here, but like he's like,
they never lean, for real though.
Like they never lean into any of this shit. Like
anything.
Not the demo they want, Justin. That's the thing. They want they rather have a motherfucker out there playing classical piano than currency. Like they couldn't get Boosie in those seats. They couldn't get cut. Like
it's amazing. You get called out, Boosie then got floor seats. It's like God, just you know.
Send it in. Pistons Talk. Send it in.
They're late.
Send it in.
Shit.
Hey, look, throw a couple future firsts in there. Send it in. I'll just give us Steph no future first.
I'll give them some future first in that deal.
Y'all need pick 21?
What y'all need?
Send it in. Because he's a superstar and I want to see Detroit do well. That's why I'm saying it. Because he's a superstar. I got family in Detroit. I want to see him do well.
All right, Chaz, I'll let you have this one. We got like 5 more minutes left. From Anthony, would the Pels be closer to being contender if SVG was the coach?
Yes. I think he's responsible for finding something. He was trying to install an identity. And you see what's happening with the even with the Pacers right now. They have an identity. They got a no-nonsense coach. They the effort is there defensively. They're not an especially good defensive team. Also, Stan Van Gundy had the disadvantage of having a washed-up Eric Bledsoe, having an off-injured Steven Adams, who was kind of toward his twilight, and having broke back Derek Favors. Derek Favors was gone. And that second year.
You have accountability on the show?
I mean, that, no, I said that on purpose.
Well, you still can't do it. Like, what do you? No.
Well, come on. Broke back.
Run it.
No, I can't talk about it.
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Fucking love you, man.
Will, my bad. Derek Favors wasn't on that team. I'm thinking about before. But that also, that year, that was JJ's last good year as well. JJ fell off a cliff that year, so he was at a major disadvantage.
Couple more questions. So, Ross, CJ, do you think it's traded this offseason?
Absolutely not.
Okay. That was pretty quick.
I can go further if you want. He's not going to be traded. CJ, like, just won, like, NBA Man of the Year or whatever. He's the head of the players. Like, they're just not trade. The only way CJ is getting traded is if CJ walks in and is like, hey, I'm looking to get out of here. Like, y'all trade me. And if maybe that's going to happen, I don't know. I mean, but I feel like I would say CJ getting traded this offseason is like 99.9% for me.
I don't think he needs to also. That's a guy you can move at the deadline if necessary. Yeah,
I love this. We're ending on this question. We'll go Chaz first, and Ross, you can close it out. I'll answer first. If you guys have GM powers, what was the first move you guys would make to make a statement? Go get Trey fucking Young. That would be my move. Go ahead, Chaz.
Trey for Trey Young. That's it. Yeah, Trey Young.
Trey Young. Ross?
I think just getting Brandon off the roster.
Yeah.
I think that's easy. Like, make a statement. No, it is. If you really want to get Brandon off, you'd be like, hey, like.
Well, no, you know what? Look, then fine. I'll amend my statement. I think the first move you'd make to make a statement would be an eye opener to everyone on the roster that shit's changing. Fire Willie Green and bring in a coach that a competent coach that's going to demand a certain aspect of the way you play. That's what I would. I would fire Willie Green and bring in a coaching.
Yeah, Savage. I do. I think AD would actually be a good coach. I don't know if he's gonna do it. I know he's like hinted at it, but coaching's hard, man. Coaching's really I'm shocked. Like, I think the JJ Redick thing. Like, I think that's gonna be a major failure. Like, to not coach at all.
Well, AD hadn't coached either, has he?
That's what I'm saying. Like, AD's never. But like, he's a player. Like, he's intelligent. Yeah. Like, there are just so many things as a coach that. Like, you just don't understand until you're, like, in it, right? Like, just gamesmanship. how to manage, you know, preparation, how to fucking do a practice. Like, there's like dealing with different personalities is the hardest thing. How to connect with one player, you connect differently with another player. Like that, I think there's so many just different things that you don't think about. Like when you're like, oh, I could be a coach. It's like,
It's like the administrative bullshit. Like everybody thinks they can run a, like, it's almost like in your head, you think it's easy to run a business until it's like, wait, I got to figure out what insurance I need. Nobody said anything about insurance. I just had this good idea. Like, what do you mean?
Right.
Like there's just so many, like, it's not as easy as people, like, you could have a great basketball mind and not be a good coach.
Shout out to me.
Yeah. D, appreciate you, bro.
I agree with Ross. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah. Hour and a half. Appreciate everyone that was here. We don't have 5 seconds with Lito because he's on vacation. How dare that guy take a vacation? We'll be back Sunday night.
Can I hit the bonus
break here? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, hit the All end. Right, y'all.
Okay. No 5 seconds with Lito, but go ahead.
Okay. See, met their fate, you know, and seems like the other team came in and just rained on their parade. Typically, when it's rain, it's thunder. And when there's thunder, there's lightning. Hit the hammer.
Presented by Company Burger, located 4600 Ferret Street. Yes, we're going to close out the show playing Company Burger.
Company Burger is the official burger of Propels Talk and Boot Crew Media. Located at 4600 Ferret Street, Company Burger has been locally owned and operated for 11 years. Grind the meat, bake the buns, make the mayo, get the homemade tots. Company Burger uses Creekstone Farms prime beef to create the best burger in the city with milkshakes to go and a full bar. Company Burger is open every day besides Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Can't make it out? No worries, we have you covered. You can order online right now at thecompanyburger.com or check them out on the Toast or Uber Eats app. Company Burger, the official burger of Boot Crew Media.
Chung, always appreciate you, man. Thanks for appreciate everyone pulling up tonight.
Thank you, man.
Thank y'all. Yeah, make sure y'all smash that like button. We'll see y'all on Sunday night. Hope you all have a good weekend.